many in here would like to actually take new ground? How many in here would like to see your life changed? How many in here would actually like to see yourself change with the secret desires that you've had about you that you're not happy with? Because sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. Sometimes when we look in the mirror, we don't like what we see. And let's just get really honest, because this is a woman's Bible study, and we are women, and there's no men here. And they are wired completely differently than we are. They don't have the emotion chip that we have. They don't have it. And they're just, they think differently. They have waffles and little compartments. My husband has a nothing box that he visits. And I'll ask him, what are you thinking? And he'll say, nothing. And he's actually in the nothing box. But I'm incapable of that. Are you? Do you have a nothing box that you can go to? No, you see, we're wired differently. Because God knew that he better, when he took out of man, woman, and he formed and he fashioned this amazing, beautiful helpmate that was going to come and become one with the man, and together they were going to rule and have dominion and subdue and be fruitful and multiply. Adam couldn't do that without her, according to the plan of God. So when God wired you and I, and he made us, and he fashioned us, he made us differently on purpose. And so he didn't give us a nothing box, because he knew that if we had nothing boxes, that our children would die. They would not survive through five, because we'd be in our nothing boxes, and they'd be out playing with electricity or drowning or doing in the streets or... because we wouldn't be thinking about it. Can I get a witness in this house? We have to know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made as women, and that God's made us women on purpose to be his purpose on the earth, and that we are extremely strategic to the plan of God. And the enemy knows that if he can turn us, then he can get to the man, because he's not very original, and that's what he did at the beginning. How did he get to Adam? You think that boy wasn't looking at that tree? We don't know how long he was. God doesn't tell us that. But he tells us there were two trees in that garden. He doesn't tell us how long they were there. But he says that he was with Eve when she took the fruit. So Eve pioneered it, and she said, here, honey, and he took it. But he was watching that tree and thinking about it. Don't kid yourself. This didn't just happen. It wasn't just like one day Eve decided to pick the fruit. They'd thought about it. They'd meditated on it. And then the serpent came. She took it. And he followed. And the enemy got to Adam through the love of his life, through his helpmate, Eve. And it has been that way since the beginning. And I heard Hillary Clinton, and I'm not opposed to Hillary Clinton. I'm not opposed to any of them. I'm just not political. Because quite frankly, I am in a new kingdom. I'm in this world, but I'm not of it. I will vote according to the principles of the Word of God, because that's my right and my responsibility. But I recognize and I realize that I've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, and I've been brought to the kingdom of light. And I serve the King. He is my Father. He's my bridegroom. He's my elder brother. He's my high priest. He is everything to me. And therefore, I'm an ambassador on this planet, and I am traveling through, but I'm not going to get stopped with the mob or the crowd and get involved. In that, I will pray for my country. I will pray for my leaders. I will vote according to the conscience of the Holy Spirit in my spirit, but I will not get political with you. But I heard Hillary Clinton say that there is a war on women. And I thought to myself, she has no clue that there really is a war on women. And it started in Genesis 3:15 when God said to the serpent, because you've done this, the seed of the woman is going to crush your head. You're going to bite his heel, but he's going to overcome you. And I'm putting enmity, that is warfare, between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And it started there, and the war is on full force. So we can be stupid. Yeah, the word stupid is actually in the Bible. And we can be ignorant, and we can be timid, and we can be weak, and we can be women that refuse to change or grow, or we can step into the supernatural kingdom of God and become who we're supposed to be, daughters of the Most High God. It's up to us, because everything's been given to us to do this. So I want to talk to you this morning about personal stuff. I want to talk to you not about, it's a warfare message, but it's actually a warfare with ourselves. Because I believe that there are strongholds in our lives, fortresses, mindsets, image definitions, things that are in us that have set us into a place and a position, and it wars against the knowledge of God and what God wants for our lives and how he wants us to respond and what he wants us to become. And so this is not necessarily a feel-good message. This is a let's seek the Lord because the days are evil. And let's find out what we're supposed to be and let's do some growing up. Because I need to grow up. On my 65th birthday, which is in about 2 months, I have things in my life that God is dealing with right now. They're not the things that he was dealing with 40 years ago when I came back to the Lord out of a very, very heavy life of sin and rebellion. They're different things now, but they're just as important to the Holy Spirit as they were when I was a new Christian coming in and he was cleaning me up little by little. So everyone here, every beautiful little bum that is sitting in that seat, your little butts, every one of you is dealing with something in your life. And every one of us in this room is at a different stage of life. Some of you have just come into the kingdom. Some of you are seeking and you're new Christians and you're really screwing up right now and you don't know how to stop and you don't know what to do. Some of you are stuck. You've been in a certain pattern in a certain way for so many years, you don't know what to do. Yeah. And you want to move on, but you're stuck. And I want to talk about that today. Is that all right? So having said that, let me ask the Lord to help me because apart from him, I can do nothing. And Father, you know, and I humble myself before these precious, beautiful daughters, and I humble myself before your mighty throne, eternal, holy Father. Lord, I'm asking you that you would help me today to have clear thoughts and to present what you want me to present, to speak clearly by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Spirit of grace, you are the teacher and the revelator of the church. I pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding. I ask that you would go places in us that have been locked and that you would begin to take the keys that you've given us of the kingdom and teach us how to use these keys to unlock these doors that we need to start walking through to take new ground in our lives. Help us, Holy Spirit. We ask this in the mighty and the precious name of our King, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Reconciler, our Restorer, our Bridegroom, and our soon coming Hero. And Lord, we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to go to a familiar passage. It's in 2 Corinthians. Oh my gosh, hang on. Sunday morning? Oh, I don't think so. That's how comfortable I am with the girls. Because you can track with me. We've got the spaghetti for, you know, the superhighway in our brain, and we can handle this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's read it. Familiar passage of Scripture. Let's start with verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Jesus Christ. So Paul is talking and writing this letter to the Corinthian church, and he's saying, listen, we are not warring in the natural realm. The weapons of our warfare, because there is a war going on. There is a war going on, absolutely. And this war is in the realm of my soul, my mind, my emotions, my will, my thoughts, my personality, my soulish realm. And there is a war going on, and I'm wrestling, but I'm fighting not with natural things, because the flesh cannot overcome the supernatural spirit. Whether it's demonic, and God will not let the flesh access the supernatural spirit of the kingdom. Now, I know I say this all the time, but let's just review. You got born again. You got taken out of the kingdom of darkness, because the prince of the power of the air, Satan, is ruling over this planet. This is a fallen system. It's on its way down. It's not going to work. There is a time when everything's going to be wrapped up. There's a time when the sky is going to roll up like a scroll. There's a time when the earth is going to absolutely be consumed with the fire of the judgment of God. There's a time when Messiah himself is returning and we are coming with him. There's a time when this is going to be done. We just don't know what time we're in, but we know we're closer than we've ever been. So this kingdom that we got taken out of, we got translated into this new kingdom, and this kingdom is supernatural. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you, the kingdom of God is around you, the kingdom of God is among you. He preached the kingdom of God. He came to show us what it would be like to be a new man, a new creation, because he came all God but all man. And he came as a man, the last Adam, representation of our race. And he came to show us how to walk out this life as the new creation and to win the battles and to get the word of God and the kingdom of God into this earth. So as he is in this world, so are we. What he did and what he portrayed and how he fought and how he overcame, he did not use his supernatural power to overcome for himself, or he would have gotten down from that cross. He was on a mission. Are you with me? And he was showing what a new creation is like. So I have a dual nature. I have an old nature that's still with me, but I have a brand new nature. And the battle is between the two natures. And the enemy comes to me to tempt me, to try me, to test me, to defeat me, so that I stay in the kingdom of darkness and fight in the old way, my old culture, what I was born with and all that I knew, or I can walk into the kingdom of God and I can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, begin to have this amazing thing called grace power on me to fight with weapons that are mighty through God to the pulling down of every stronghold. It's a totally different fight. And the flesh, the old nature, cannot access the supernatural power of the kingdom of heaven. It's impossible. No flesh will glory in his sight. So I cannot pull down strongholds with my self-discipline. I cannot pull down strongholds with my tenacity. I have to have a supernatural power to be able to identify and change and pull down these fortresses and these mindsets and this way of acting and behaving. It has to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? And that's pretty much what we struggle with all the time, wouldn't you say? Am I talking to anybody in here besides myself? This is where we live, right? So instead of looking at other things and other people, I want to look at us today. Is that all right? This is about me, and this is about you, and this is about you and the Holy Spirit. So having said that, let me just define a stronghold. A stronghold is anything that opposes the will of God. Any thought, any action, any law that opposes the will of God is called a fortress or a stronghold. It is an evil that the enemy has constructed and risen up to stop and to hinder and to keep the power of God and the plan of God and the kingdom of heaven from accessing and taking ground. That is why at the beginning God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, subdue, and have dominion over all the earth. And when Satan took dominion and he took that title deed of earth, when Adam handed it to him, this whole planet fell under the power of the prince of the air. And there is a devil, and he is defeated by the blood of Jesus and the cross, but if we don't enforce it, it's not going to work. It's a bit like immigration right now. There's a huge battle about immigration because it's not being enforced. Now, I don't want to tell you which side I'm on because that's nobody's business but me and God. I'm just praying. But I know that as long as we don't enforce the laws, that they're not going to be there to make any difference. Is that true? Whether it's a good law or a bad law, if it's not enforced, it has no power. Is that not true? Would you agree with that? So don't worry if you're here illegally right now. I don't even want to know. Okay, we have Iglesia La Roca, and we're praying, and we're believing God for righteousness and justice, and I'm not here to fix that. God can fix that, but I'm using it as an example of the big debate. There are, if the law is stated and written and it is not enforced, then it has no power. Would you say that's a true statement? Then, if we are here as believers enforcing the victory of Jesus Christ, but we don't know what it is and we don't know how to enforce it, it has no power. Is that not true? And therefore, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Because we are ignorant or because we are still in the flesh and we're still carnal, we're still fleshly, we can't fight these things. We put up with them and we tolerate them and we cover them with band-aids and excuses and everything else. When all the while the Holy Spirit wants me to go further, he wants me to go faster, he wants me to come up higher, and he wants to give me more responsibility. But if I, Debbie Cobray, am still harboring these fortresses in my own soul, and not dealing with them as the Holy Spirit wants me to, then I can go no further, and I get stuck. Right? Now, some of them are easy to pull down, and when I was young and a new believer, my goodness, fortresses came down like that. Strongholds that were over my life got broken. I got delivered from so many things. But then I found that as I began to walk with God, there was a responsibility to grow up. God wasn't my sugar daddy. He didn't just give me a piece of candy and a lollipop and said, here, you're fixed. No, I had to start now working. I had to start now studying. I had to start now discipling. I had to start now being disciplined. I had to start now operating in the principles of the Word of God so that I could grow strong, because if I didn't use these things, I wouldn't know how to fight with them. Even Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Not that he wasn't obedient, but God had never been in flesh. He'd never been wrapped in flesh, it says in Hebrews. What was God like walking around in a human body? He'd never been limited before. He'd never hungered before. He never was tired. He was never weary. He was the King, the Creator of heaven and earth. And all of a sudden, he, by his own choice to be Redeemer, put himself in flesh, and he had to learn obedience and learn to walk out in victory so that he could teach us and we could follow in his steps. I'm telling you guys, sometimes we see Jesus and he says, oh yeah, that's Jesus. Yeah, well, that's you too, because you're the church, he's the head, we're the body. We are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. If he did it, then I'm supposed to do it. If he could have victory in it, then I can have victory in it. Because he's Jesus, and I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He's the head. I'm the body. He's working out the supernatural through the church, his body on the earth. So we got to grow up and become who we're supposed to be and stop being immature, foolish women that absolutely don't know our right hand from our left. I told you this wasn't going to necessarily be easy. But sometimes this is what we need. So a stronghold. Anything that opposes God's will. God created us with specific needs. Dignity, purpose, meaning, authority, security, blessing and provision, freedom and boundaries, intimate love and companionship. These are specific needs in the human soul. He created us with these needs. A major source of strongholds is when we seek to meet one of these needs apart from the will of God. Companionship and love. When I seek to find a man and to find love outside of the will of God, I'm now operating in the flesh. That man may be a wonderful man, but if it's not God's will for my life, it's not right for me. Or when I was before, you know, when I was a carnal Christian and I was, listen, when I was 23, you would have never said I was saved, but guess what? God didn't let me die. See, he's in eternity. We're in time. So it may look like that child or that husband or that family member is impossible and they're never going to change, but you don't know the end. You don't know how God's power can work. You don't know the power of your prayers. You don't know the power, because if you would have looked at me, you would have given up on me and said, forget it, by that praying mom, and here I am today alive and well when I did stupid, stupid things. So when I seek to meet the needs, peace and comfort, security, when I seek in the flesh to meet those needs, I'm not in the will of God. When I'm looking at my security in dollars and cents and retirement programs and not to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because that retirement can be gone in one day, I'm not in the will of God. Now, I'm not saying we're not supposed to do and work and prosper and believe God. We are. But I cannot use these things as my security blanket. I can't use drugs to make me feel better. I can't go and have too much alcohol because I'm uptight and I'm stressed and I just have to have that glass of wine and I just need that cigarette. I just need that food because I need comfort. There's something in me that's crying out. I'm not happy and I need peace. And so I grab something to eat. And that's most of us in here. That's the legal drug in the church. But yeah, you know what that does is then you don't like yourself, you don't like your body, and you stop doing things. Can I just get honest with everybody here? Can we just stop the crap and the lies, and can we just look at ourselves for a moment and be real with each other? I'm just like you. I didn't go swimming this year because I didn't want to get in a bathing suit because I put on 20 pounds. But I have a self-image that I need to maintain. Do you understand? It's in me. Now, maybe that needs to be tweaked by God. Maybe that's a stronghold God wants to change. Do you see what I'm saying? You see, there's things in all of us that we live with. But what if God wanted to change it? What if you needed joy every day and it was available to you? It wasn't dependent on whether you gained weight or didn't gain weight, whether your husband was good to you or wasn't, whether you were married or not married, whether you had money or you didn't have money, whether the kids behaved or they didn't behave, whether you liked yourself or you didn't like yourself. But there was an effervescent pool and stream and living fountain on the inside of you that just bubbled up and came out regardless of your circumstances, whether you were in a prison or whether you were set free. There was joy that was always there and available to you. See, that's the life God wants us to lead. So, having said that, these strongholds, I just want you to take a moment. Eternal fortresses or internal fortresses of influence from which demonic spirits agitate, oppress, and afflict the soul. These spirits arouse and incline your mind, your will, your emotions towards attitudes. Strongholds, internal fortresses of influence from which demonic spirits will cause you to live a life and do things contrary to the will of God. Strongholds, we all have some of them. And they're in layers. We're like an onion. We peel it, and there's a lot of tears, and it stinks, but there's more layers. Because, you see, Paul said, I haven't said that I have reached full maturity, but I press toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ, that I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering, that I may be conformed into the very image of him who has called me. That's God's plan for us. So, having said that, God has a plan, he has a provision, and he has a promise for us about these strongholds. He says, there's hope. You've got great weapons, mighty weapons, that'll pull these down in your own life. Now, I know there's strongholds all around us in our cities, and there's ways to pull these down, but I'm talking about us. I'm talking about me, myself, and I, and I'm talking about you. Because when I get me, myself, and I fixed, I can help somebody else, right? Doesn't mean that we have to be so introspective, but it does mean if there are things God's dealing with you about and you've just shushed him, or you've ignored him, or you've moved on, He's not going to shush, and he's not going to be ignored. You're going to stop hearing from God is what's going to happen. You're going to start coming to church, and things are going to get dry. You're going to look for God, but you're not going to find him. You know why? Because you've shushed him. Because he wants to deal with you about something. Why? Because he has nothing but your best interest at heart. He wants you to prosper and you to be blessed and me to be blessed. But when I ignore him, when I push him back because I don't want to deal with that now, it's okay, and I make excuses, then what happens is little by little by little, that stronghold gets stronger and his voice gets weaker. Am I talking to anybody? So he has a plan, he has a promise, and he has a provision for us. Now let's go to the book of James. Let's see how to do this, all right? It's a mighty weapon. Now, the book of James can be a little scary. I've heard my husband tell me, I haven't read it, but he told me this, and I don't know if it's true or not, but if it came from my husband, I believe it is, because he doesn't lie, that there are teachers out in the body of Christ right now that are saying that the book of James doesn't belong to the body of Christ, that it wasn't written to us because of God's grace, but it is written to us. And there are some things in this book that can take you back a few steps. And I'm going to go to that chapter. So, James chapter 4. Because every word of God is God-breathed and profitable for instruction, for correction, for reproof, that the woman of God may be perfect and mature and wanting nothing. So in James chapter 4, we're now going to look at a group of people that had strongholds, and they were stuck. And James is going to tell them how to get unstuck. Are you ready? James chapter 4, verse 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure that war in your members, your flesh? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Now, wait a minute, Pastor Deb, I'm not murdering. I'm not warring anybody, no, but Jesus said if you even think about it, it's done. If you even say, Raca, fool, to your brother, you're guilty of the hellfire. So you see, God's dealing with the heart, not necessarily the action. Are you with me? He's talking to the church. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. So now he's saying, listen, you manipulate your prayers. Oh, God, I want this for you, but you really want it for yourself. Oh, God, I'm asking you for this, but, and you see, God, you can't fool him. You can't mess with the Holy Spirit because he knows you better than you know yourself. He knows the inside and the outside of your heart. He knows what is making you the way you are. He knows what happened to you when you don't even remember. He knows all the way down your ancestral line. He knows that those things that followed, those iniquities that followed the succession of the family, and there is soul sickness. There are things that get passed on to us. We're born with them. My mother was like this. I'm like this. Her grandmother was like this. Maybe it's a short fuse. Maybe you're a yeller. Maybe you're just always frustrated or worried. You see, we look at these things and we think, oh, it's just me, it's just life. But no, God wants to heal it and restore it and make me something I've never been. But I got to pay attention to this. And he's saying, listen, you guys want this stuff, but you're asking wrong. You're not getting it. So if your prayers have not been answered, can I say to you, maybe, like me, we're asking amiss. What a thought. Have you ever heard a pastor's wife say this before? No, you haven't. I told you this isn't a feel-good message, but it is going to feel good when we start to live it. Because God's calling me to grow up and into holiness because the day of the Lord is at hand and he needs me on sight and ready with the weapons of warfare that he wants to put into my hand to take out the enemy. So if your prayers aren't being answered, if things aren't happening and they're not moving, it's either not time, because God's delays are not always his denials, or we're asking amiss. There's other reasons. Adulterers and adulteresses. What, God? What are you talking to me? Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? That word enmity is absolutely warfare. You're hostile towards God. If you are fond of the culture of this world, if you love, now God says that he loves the world. He doesn't mean he loves the fallen world. He doesn't love Satan and his government and his immorality, but he loves the people on this planet. But I'm in this world, but not of it. And when I begin to be too fond, and I begin to look at my culture, and I begin to grab a hold of my culture, it's so subtle. Maybe you're watching a little more TV than you used to watch. Maybe those M things that you used to scan out, now you're not scanning them out. Maybe you're tempted over here. Maybe you're doing this over here. Do you know that all causes the power of God to leak out of me and you? How about that? Maybe, just maybe, we're getting too fond, too politically correct of our world. Can't we all just get along and love each other? No. Jesus said, I came to bring a sword. God's a God of fire. He says, I'm going to separate a father from a daughter, a mother from a daughter, a mother-in-law from a daughter-in-law. I've come to bring a sword. Listen, they're not persecuted and they didn't die because this was easy. They murdered and they crucified our Lord. He said, if they have hated me, they're going to hate you. Are you hated by the world? If you say yes, good on you. You're in the right direction. If you don't know, then maybe you're becoming too fond of the very thing that the highest price that was paid for you to pull you out of it. Pull me out of it. Oh, gosh. This is truth, guys. This is the word of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells within us yearns jealously? In other words, the Holy Spirit is jealous. God does not share me with anyone. The word for holy, the definition for holy that my husband has used in this church for 27 years is exclusively his. You belong exclusively to Jesus Christ. You have been paid for by the highest price that could ever be paid, and we will never even begin to fathom the suffering and the price that he paid for us. I don't know if we'll ever understand it, but it's been paid, and that's what we're worth to him. Therefore, he's jealous. He's a jealous husband. He is not going to share me with wine, which I don't drink, but believe me, I've been tempted in these last couple of months to have another glass. I haven't had a glass of wine in 27 years. But that temptation has been looking at me, so I'm not immune to it. I used to smoke 2 packs a day. God delivered me out of cigarettes. I don't desire to smoke, but I'll tell you, I need something in my hands and in my mouth. I stuck to my thumb. I came out that way. God knows that. He knows that. He's not mad at me for that, but he wants to get me through these things that cause me to trip up and cause me to waste days in anger or frustration or dislike or self-loathing or any of these things that you and I walk in. And he says, listen, you are bought with a price, and I've married you, and I'm not going to share you with anybody, and I'm not going to let you go get your peace or go get your security or go get your intimacy, or go get your love, or go get your productivity, and go get, you know, what you need, what I put in you, fruitfulness. You need to bear fruit. I put that in you. I'm not going to let you get that outside of my will for you. And when I don't listen to him, and I don't heed, and I don't hunker down and take the discipline that he wants me to take and get through this thing with him, then I'm stuck, and I'm not going to move forward. Now, this is how we move forward. This is what he says. Verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Now, I'm using this scripture. I'm using this as pulling down strongholds in my own personal life. There's a little formula here. God says he gives grace to the humble. Now, if you think grace is just salvation and divine favor and unmerited favor, you're wrong, because it's a whole lot more than that. It is the very power of God. It's the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the power that worked mightily in Paul. It's the power that I must access to overcome and to pull down these personal strongholds in my own life. Because I don't have the ability to do it in my own flesh. I have to have a supernatural power to be able to stop lying. The little white lies, the half-truths. That when you're telling a story or when you're busted about something, you make your side look better. See, God said, stop lying to each other. How about your husband? Do you lie to your husband? See, if you're doing that stuff, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to tell you, he wants to free us from that. He wants to get us free of that stronghold. He wants to get me free of having to have a man in my life and having to have sex illegally. So I'm always, always under guilt because I did it again. I was the girl that just couldn't say no. And before I knew it, I was sleeping with somebody. He wants to free me from that sexual addiction. That I have to have somebody in my life to have peace and to feel like I'm whole. Because you see, he is that one that's going to give me peace and wholeness. And you won't be ready for the godly man until you can get to that place where that's off of you and you are clean and pure before him and you can now walk with him in chastity and holiness. You know, I've watched girls just absolutely get their bodies beautiful. I've seen them online, on Facebook, pastors' wives, and yet they're in bikinis and things like that. Well, what's wrong with that, Pastor Debbie? Are you getting legalistic? No, but I know the lawgiver. And he said to me in his word, be chaste, be modest. Don't uncover yourself. Why? Because he knows that my body could be a stumbling block for a brother or a man. And why, as a representative, a royal daughter who's beautiful and holy, why would I want an unholiness to follow me and to make my God look bad because I represent him? See, we've lost a sense of propriety. Everything goes in our world. Everything goes. Every sexual thing goes. We've redefined family and marriage. We've redefined fashion. Well, Debbie, you're just being legalistic. No, I'm not. I'm looking at holiness, and I'm looking at being exclusively his and what his word tells me, because if his word tells me to do something and I don't do it, it's sin, and it's a stronghold. Why am I doing it? Why am I rebellious? Does that make sense? So the first thing he says, okay, I want you to pull down the stronghold in your life. I don't know what it is, whether it's sex, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's food, whether it's a short fused temper, whether it's frustration, whether you're fearful, whether it's worry. There can be a plethora of things that are in your life that you're dealing with right now. I don't want to know. It's between you and God. I have my own little list. Maybe it's a sharp tongue. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe you can't control your words. You see, all of this stuff will stop and hinder what God wants to do in us and through us. And he wants to deal with it. So he says, here it is. Here's what you do. First thing you do is you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Why do I do that? Because this is the place that is hardest to go to. It is the place that is the most difficult to stay at. But it's the place God loves the most because it's where we get an infusion of power, grace. God's power in me to do what his will demands of me. God's sovereign, divine power to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. Grace, it's not just this amazing gift of salvation. It is the very power of God that helps me to say no to a temptation that I've never been able to say no to before. So the first step is I've got to come to God and I've got to humble myself, which means I got to get honest with him and not run from him, but to run to him and let him open up my heart and talk to me and deal with the things I've not let him deal with. You think he doesn't know? He is more ready to forgive my sins than I'm ready to confess them. He is more ready to prosper me and to give me what I need than I am to ask him. He is more willing to give me grace and power and to raise me up than I am willing to believe for. It's God. His promise to me is John 10:10. I have come to give you life and to give it abundantly. God wants you to have a marriage. He wants you to have a prosperous family. He wants your children to be blessed of God and to be strong on the earth and to be famous on the earth. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to bear fruit. He wants these things for us, but he will not allow us to access it through the flesh and not the spirit. Are you with me? So he says, Debbie, first thing is you got to humble yourself before me, which means you got to come when you don't want to come. Maybe, I don't know about you, but my prayer life in the last 6 months has not been what it was over my whole life. I wasn't coming like I was because my prayers weren't getting answered, and it was hard. Life was hard. My heart was broken about some stuff. Nothing seemed to work. God, is this what our life is going to be now that we're old? And my dad died. My mom's in a mental institution. Nothing sold. Nothing happened. Nothing, 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 nothing. God, where are you? You see, God wants these things for us, but we have to come. We have to be willing to hear what he's going to say when we come. And maybe it's something you don't think is a very big deal, but it's something he's been dealing with, and it's a big deal to him. Maybe it's just that little off truth that you're speaking. You know it's not really true, but you've just said it so many times, it's just part of your life now. Maybe it's the tongue. Something. But he says, come to me. Humble yourself before me. Come with a dependence on me. Come and let go of your life and give it to me, because he already knows what's going on and you have been carrying it. He said, all you who labor and are heavy laden, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. He doesn't want you carrying this. You can't carry your life, but he can. So, humble myself under the mighty hand of God. I got to get honest, and I got to let him deal with my life. Number two, after I've humbled myself, what does that mean? It means, well, look, some of you just have short fuses, and I know I'm speaking by the Spirit right now. You're always angry. You're always upset. Nothing. There's no peace. You work so hard and there's no peace. You're carrying more than you need to carry. Maybe you're a single mom in here. What, he doesn't know that? Maybe life hasn't been fair. No, life is not fair. There is no level playing ground outside of Jesus Christ. There isn't. And man can try to fix all he wants to, but man will not fix what is broken, and only God can fix. Maybe you're frustrated. Maybe you have, oh, here's one. Maybe you've given up. Well, I guess this is it. It is what it is. And Lord, that's just the way it is, so I'm going to learn to live with it, and I'm going to just keep going. Maybe he wants to take that discouragement and that frustration, and he wants to turn it around. And he wants to say, no, it isn't what it is. It's what I say it is. I have the last word. I have a plan for your life. I have the supernatural ability to get you where you need to go, to meet the person you need to meet, to get the job you're going to need to pay your bills. But only I can do that. And you have given up on me, and you've given up on you. And I need you to get back up and start again. Stronghold. You've listened to the lies of the enemy. It is what it is. It's never what it is. God has the last word. Even when Lazarus was dead in the grave and he stunk, and Mary was so upset she wouldn't even come to Jesus, and Martha said, Lord, if you would have been here, Lazarus would have lived. He said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And she says, I know, Lord. He says, do you believe? Listen, it isn't what it is. It's what God says it is. It's what God's plan for your life. It's what God has ordained for you. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, He has already written the good works that you're to walk in and be successful in. They're already written out. He's playing the tape backwards. It's already done in eternity, but we've got to step in faith. We've got to step in holiness. We've got to step in hope. We've got to step back in and believe God and become what we're supposed to be again. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He gives grace to the humble. Then I have to, when humility involves repentance, it means I see my error and God, okay, busted, I see it. But God, you know how addicted I am to this? But God, you know how this has been in my life for so long, I don't know how to get rid of it. But God, I don't know what to do because I don't know how to get out of this. I can't get out of this relationship. I've got a soul tie. I keep going back to the same man. I keep going back to the alcohol. I keep going back to the marijuana. I keep going back to the drugs. I keep going back to this. Lord, I overeat and I hate myself for it, but I don't know how to stop. God says, I want to give you the power to change it. It's a stronghold and I want to pull it down in your life. But you have to repent of it. What does that mean? It means I finally have to say, okay, busted, here it is. It's in the light. Everything's in the light now, Lord. No more secrets. It's in the light. Here it is. Now, what do I do? Now you're in a place where God can give you grace and power to begin to change. Because if you don't need to change and if you won't admit it and you won't see it, you'll never change. When your husband tells you you've got a bad personality, you're angry all the time. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. You don't see yourself. Maybe God's saying something. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? You can't change, but He can change you. He can change me. He can free me from addictions. He can free me from habits. He can free me from patterns of thought. He can free me from speech. He can free me from gossip. He can free me from worry. He can free me from fear. He can free me and pull down that stronghold in my life that my mother had and her mother had and her mother's mother had. And I don't even know why, but it's on my life and I'm so blind to it. I just live with it. He can free it. But I have to first repent of it. Let Him shine the light. How does He do that? You get honest and you get quiet. You get a prayer closet somewhere in your house. You go where nobody's going to bother you. And you shut that door and you pray in secret. And your Father who is in heaven will hear from on high and He will reward you openly, Jesus said. This is not something you do with other people. This is something you and God work on together. And when you begin to repent, then He gives you grace to change. Now, the next step, He says, okay, here's the promise, abundant life. I want it for you. I've got things you'll never dream of. I want to take you further than you've ever gone, further than you could ever dream, because I'm the God that does exceedingly and abundantly beyond you could ask or hope or think. But I need you to let me deal with you so you can grow up in me. So now the next step, He says, resist. No, He doesn't say that. He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He'll give you grace. And then He says, submit to God. What does that mean? Submit. Submissio. Come under His authority. Can I have that scripture up there? James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. This is so simple, but it's not. There's a whole lot to this, isn't there? Because now I got to do it. Right now, I'm dealing with something with food. Now, you look at me and you probably said, oh, I wish I weighed what she weighed. You see, it's all relative. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because it's self-image, how you see you. You understand that? So what may seem like nothing to me is huge to you. What may seem like nothing to you might be huge to me. And God deals with each of us as an individual. But let me talk to you about food because food has always been an issue in my life. When I was in sixth grade, I was overweight, and so they weighed me in front of the class, and they would haul me off to the office, and people would tease me about how fat I was. That's what they used to do in the public school, 1961. So, no, you see, so what? It happened. They wanted us healthy. But it put something in me that said, I don't ever want to be fat, right? So now, I mean, yet I love food. Oh, man, I can out-eat anybody in here. I bet I could have 5 Big Macs and not blink an eye. plus the French fries. I might be sick afterwards, but I have a voracious appetite. I can eat a lot. Ask my kids. Listen, I can't have coconut cream pie in my refrigerator. I can't have it there. I just can't have it. And I love to make it. But if I have it there, I'll eat the whole pie. One bite at a time. Ice cream in my refrigerator, freezer. Oh, anybody else in here? Yeah. Sugar? Yeah. See, all you other holy people, this isn't for you then. Listen. Submit means that you come under the authority and you don't do what you're not supposed to do. When the Holy Spirit whispers to you, you know that God whispers, it says, don't eat that. Or how about, don't go there with them looking for companionship. You don't need to go there. But God, I'm lonely. You don't know how lonely I am. I know how lonely you are. You don't need to go there. And you just say, okay, thank you, Holy Spirit, and you go anyway. Come on, you've done it, and so have I. Don't look at me like that. Let's don't be so holy in here. Let's be honest in here. How about when you blow your top and you know you're wrong, but you just don't want to say, I'm sorry. How about the kids? How about cleaning the house or just doing the things that are just not fun? Paying the bills? The everyday disciplines that we need? Listen, this is little stuff, but the little stuff, it's little foxes that spoil the vine. Maybe it's big stuff. Maybe it's little stuff, but there's stuff, I guarantee it. And when God says submit, he means obey unconditionally. And I think about the walled city of Jericho. They had to pull that stronghold down. They had to get to Jericho because Jericho was the first city of the promise. That city was walled. And there was no way they could overtake that city because this battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. He's going to give us supernatural ability to overcome it. That's what a stronghold is. You can't pull it down yourself. But you've got to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. So I can't allow certain things to happen in my mind. I have to submit to God. When a thought comes in that's contrary to what God told me to do, I have to cast it down and say, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. And I have to declare the word of God. And I have to do these things. And we're going to see that in a minute. But let's just look at Jericho for just a second. Now, Jericho, they were given instruction. The priests were going to walk around that city with the soldiers. They were going to carry the Ark of the Covenant, and they were not allowed to say one word, and they were to do it every day for 6 days. Now, that's crazy, but they did it. Sometimes God's going to tell you to do stuff that's crazy. It doesn't make sense. It's opposite of what you would do. You're not happy with the instructions. You don't like it, but if you want to take down the city and take down the wall, you're going to have to obey what God says to do. If he says, get rid of the bikini, put on a one piece, I want you to start being more modest, and you've got this great body that you've worked really hard for, save it for your husband or the one that's coming. I mean it. Obey. They had to do what God said to do. The priests had to obey God. The soldiers had to obey God. And then he says, don't even say a word. They weren't even allowed to talk because he knows that out of our mouths comes life and death. And that if I am going to get this battle won and pull this stronghold down, I'm going to have to guard my tongue. So submit to God, which means in the little things. Yes, in the little things, especially the little things. I think it's the little things that God wants to really deal with. Submit to God. You know what? We had this employee for years. You don't know him, and he was in the other church, but he was the kindest man. We'd ask him to do something, and he'd say, oh, yes, I'll do it. And then he wouldn't do it. He just wouldn't do it. But then he'd come to us, and he was just so kind and so apologetic. Oh, I'm so sorry. I should have. I know I should have done that, and I didn't do that. And you know what? He was the kindest, rebellious man I ever met. But he never did what I asked or what Jim asked, what the department asked of him. You know what finally happened to that kind man? He got fired. He got fired. Because enough is enough. God's not kidding. He's not joking. You want to change. You want to grow up. You want the power of God. You want to see the works of God in your life. You want to see your family saved, your marriage healed, your kids serving God. You want to see that husband come into your life. God is not joking. It's obedience. As much as they had to obey in Jericho and do what God said when it didn't make sense, and when they did what God said to do, when it was time and they shouted and did the instruction of the Lord, the walls came down and they took the city. An impregnable, impenetrable, impossible fortress to take down was taken down because of obedience. This is not a joke. He says, submit to me. Last one, resist the devil and he will flee. I know this is common stuff, but is it? Resist. What does that mean to resist? It means to stand against darkness. It means to keep standing when the darkness is still barraging you and batting you and harming you and coming against you, and that temptation is there and it's there and it's there and it's there, and you want that glass of wine, you want that drug, you want that cigarette, you want that man, you want this. Your flesh is screaming at you, but God says, I've given you a power to resist the temptation. And Jesus taught us and learned this himself. Now God's a God of fire. We have no idea. We have no idea what he looks like and what his throne is like and the power and the brilliance, the lightning bolts, the fire of God that comes from God himself. We are ignorant of this, and we play with God like he's a sugar daddy, but he is God. And he's a God of fire, and he answers by fire. And he burns up the demonic powers, and he incinerates those enemies of his. He baptizes us with the baptism of fire. There were fiery tongues on their tops of their head. Why do you think there was fire in those tongues? Because there was life in that speech, and there was power in that speech in the gift of tongues. It's not some little Pentecostal heyday. It's the power of God himself. This world will be incinerated. There is a lake of fire. Judgment comes by fire. And God's word is a fire. How do you resist? Jesus taught us this in Matthew chapter 4. In the first temptation, I love what it says in Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Going to his flesh, his need. He was starving and he was hungry and his flesh was crying out. But he never used the power of God to feed his flesh. He used the power of God to fulfill the will of God. The power of God is not something to play with. It's not for us to have a party with. It's for us to use for the kingdom of God and for the will of the king, period. He says this, and he said in Matthew chapter 4, but he answered and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And every temptation that Satan came to him with, he answered and he declared what God said. He exchanged the truth for the lie. The lie was, if you're the Son of God, command these stones. And Jesus said, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. It is written. Now in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29, it says, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. God's word is a fire and a hammer. And Jesus taught us how to overcome that temptation. Now, maybe it's food, and you're going to the refrigerator, and that refrigerator is calling to you, and you're saying, oh, I'm not going to. I'm going to lose this weight. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to do what God's told me to do. I'm going to take care of this body, this temple. I'm going to do it, God. And you know what you say? It is written. And you begin to declare the word of God, and you make no provision for the flesh. That means you don't think about it, and you don't give it any place or supply it. Romans chapter 13, can I have that scripture up there? Can I have it up there, Romans? Do you have it, Romans 13? But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. You know what that means, no provision? That means you don't think about it and you don't give it supply. You don't supply it. If you have too much alcohol that's tempting you right now, then don't put it in your house. Don't buy it anymore. Stop it. If you want to exercise and you want to get in shape, you want to change your body, it may take you a year or 2 years. It's okay. God will be with you for 2 years to get your bodies where they're supposed to be. It can happen. It can happen. You don't have to be this way. It's going to take discipline and time, and that you are willing to resist temptation, to stand against that thing, to stand against that stronghold, to stand against those voices, to stand against those lies and say, it is written. His word is a fire in my bones and a hammer against the rock. And this fortress of thought, this fortress of image, this fortress of habit, this thing in my life is not going to win in my life. It's going to be won by the Spirit of God, the grace of God, and the power of God as I come under his humility. As I come under and bow and I submit, I obey the little things that he tells me to do. They may not make sense, but he knows what he's doing. And as I stand and resist, I stand against that lie. I stand against that habit. I stand against that habit. Right now, I have just started walking again. I walked 2 miles for the last 3 days. I didn't walk this morning because of girlfriends, but I'm going to go home and I'm going to walk. My legs hurt. I'm old. I'm 33% body fat. That means out of every 3 pounds, one of them is fat. That's not good. I have so much latex on me, I'm squeezed. I'm teasing with you now. I'm trying to relate to you because you're looking at me like, I don't know how to tell you, we are all in the same boat. We are not different. We're the same. We just have different strongholds. We came from different cultures. We came from different parents. We came from different families. But we carry these things with us, and we tolerate them. And God is saying, I want you to fight. I want you to pull them down. How are you going to do it? Three simple things. I'm going to humble myself under the mighty hand of God so I can find the power of God. That's where it starts. I'm going to obey him in the little things and the big things. If I obey in the little, the big is going to come along. It's going to be easier to obey. And I'm going to resist. It is written. I'm going to stand against. I'm going to exchange the truth for a lie. I'm going to get in the word. I'm going to learn what God says about me, and I can have this. I can have a healthy marriage. I can have children that are going to serve God. When my children didn't serve God, and Satan said they're going to absolutely be destroyed, I had to know that God's word was true and that no matter what I saw, that God's word would come forth. When this church was just a small church and we had no money to build these buildings, we had no money to do anything, and Jim and I were nobodies and nothing, and we knew nothing. Who are we to even pastor? Our families didn't believe in us. Nobody believed in us, but God believed in us. We had to believe that what God said about us was true. Now I'm in my 60s and Jim's in his 70s. What is our old age going to look like? I don't know, but I know that I want to go out fighting. And I want to go out still bearing fruit. And I want to go out and I want to believe God and pray in the move of God and the revival of God and see this generation do the exploits that I believed God for that I never did. But it's going to take a humble heart. It's going to take an honest heart that's not content to be where you're at, ready to move on, ready to do new things. It's going to take an obedient heart, and it's going to take a heart that knows that when they declare, like Jesus, the word of God, it is written, it's a fire, and it's a hammer. And if you have to say it every 5 seconds to that spirit of fear, if you have to say it every 20 seconds to that worry and that stress, if you have to say it every 30 minutes to that lie that says you'll never get married, you'll never find the right one, you'll never be what you want to be, you declare the word of the Lord that says what you are. God has the last word. What he has spoken over us, an abundant life, life abundantly, the God that can do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all you have ever hoped or thought of is the will of God for your lives. But it's going to take fighters and it's going to take daughters. Stand with me. To get up. Get up. So that we can get low. So that we can get power. So that we can submit and obey. So that we can declare and resist and see the strongholds in our lives, our families, our city, our nation, in this world come down. I'm done. Father, I just pray over these women. I've preached too long. They have been so patient. Some have left, Lord. I probably scared them away. Spit all over everybody. Now I'm sweating. Revealed secrets about my own silly self, Lord. But Lord, we're all the same. We're all in this fleshly bodies. We're all trying to do the best we can do, and we're all trying to change. Now we're asking, Father, and I'm asking, Lord, as these women lift their hands, that you'd show them the things in their lives that you want to deal with, that they've lived with for so long, and they've just accepted. Just the way I am, it's just the way it is. Almighty Father, you have a plan for them. You want to take them where they've never been. You want to impart to them what they've never had. You want to show them what they've never seen. And you want them to experience you like they never have. So I ask that you'd speak to them as they humble themselves in their private times. And you'd begin to shine light in dark places. And you'd begin to impart grace as we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. May we be changed from glory to glory. Amen and amen.